My guest in the studio now is Grant Duffy, the new board member and on the Waiheke High School Board and the initiator of the How is the School campaign. Good morning, Grant. Welcome to Waiheke Radio and congratulations on getting elected.
Kia ora, Greg. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so was that your first election ever?
That's a big question. No, I was the Labour candidate for Rodney in 2002. So that was
I didn't know that.
Something amazing. of a different scale. So yeah, that was the first sort of major election thing. I've been part of democratic organisations though for most of my life. So I've been I was a union official for 15 years and used to elections and that kind of stuff. But it's the first time I've stood for a community position.
Community org. And you've been elected quite clearly. You did run a campaign before the election around how is the school, and I understand that a dozen or so families emailed you with their experiences, and I'm sure they weren't all negative, and I'm sure they weren't all positive. But I just wondered if you could tell us overall what's your impression, and obviously we can't go into the details of those emails, they're private, but but I wonder if you could tell us just roughly how you're feeling about the school now.
I guess I've got a couple of things I'd like to say about that. We've got a son who's in year eight at the school who's absolutely loving it, and it's been a really good experience for him. It feels like a good place for him, and I guess he's enjoying. I think it's really important, particularly for the junior parts of a school, that kids enjoy school, that kids like it, that it's sufficiently challenging, that they're feeling like they are progressing, but they're having a good time. And they're, I mean, you want to build an enthusiasm for learning, I think, is what is, you know, what a school's actually about.
So tell us about your own school experience.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I was, I grew up in the Hutt Valley, and both of my parents were working class. Mum was kind of only just 16 when I was born. She left school to have me. And Dad worked in a joinery factory. He went on to drive and then own taxis. So I was the first person in my broader family to go to university, to qualify. I've got a applied MA degrees, as it turns out.
I am a qualified social worker.
And I guess from those beginnings, it was quite difficult in my family to imagine someone going to university. And it was school that took me down that pathway. It was an ordinary public school. I was Upper Hutt College. It was a co-ed public school. But it was my school experience that, you know, gave me that. Let me make the most of my own, the things that I brought to school and my own character, I guess, that got me where I am. And, I'm kind of doing okay. So that was the good part of school.
School was actually transformative.
Well, it was, but the other thing I want to say about it is that my parents divorced when I was at intermediate, and there were some quite big challenges in my adolescent school life. I wasn't particularly sporty; I was bullied a bit at school. And the other thing that's really formed my view about school is that it was the mates that I made at school in my community that actually got me through those tough years in school. And it wasn't just mates at school, but these were mates who Mum would be on the night shift at Avalon, and I would go to their place after school, have dinner, and I suppose that is one of the things that drives my value about the importance of the kids going to their local school where they can.
Yeah,
and I think it's the right thing for them.
I think probably every community in New Zealand faces this issue, doesn't it? But us more than most, probably because of that stretch of water. The issue of children leaving Waiheke for schooling in Auckland is a long-standing issue.
Yep.
Some people don't think it's an issue, and that's great. They just prefer that way.
And
some families are philosophically attracted to different types of schooling, including private schools. And I guess I don't know of any kids who are going off Waiheke to a charter school, but it's possible.
I suppose that's true.
So I guess education is increasingly a choice for families. What do we do to make those families choose our school? Because my view is, having had two children go through the schools on Waiheke, that they're excellent schools, and that every school has issues, like every family has issues now and again, and issues aren't things that sum up the whole school. I'm not quite sure where I was going with this, but what do we do to keep those kids on the island if that's what we want to do? And I think we should try and keep them on the island.
But I don't think you do that by putting barriers in the way of kids making other choices. I think the school has to be sufficiently attractive to those kids and to those parents and to those families to make those kids and those families want to send their kids to the school. So I think the school has to, you know, we live in the most fantastic environment, the most fantastic community. I think one of the, I was thinking this morning about what are the values of Waiheke, because I think the school needs to express the values of the community. And for me, probably the most essential value that I see in this community is belonging.
Yeah.
And kids, so the community, the school needs to be an integral part of the community, both in the things it does as a school, but I think in other ways as well. So people ought to see the school as a central part of the community life of their children, yeah. Really, I think. And I actually think that the school is doing a really good job of looking after those kids. From what I understand, and I don't have a lot of experience of this yet, but the school seems to be doing a really good job of looking after those kids whose pathways won't lead them down an academic career, particularly.
We've had a strong focus on sea sports. All of that sort of stuff.
Yep. The vineyards, the horticulture, yep. The hospitality stuff, and
which is our local business.
And I think that's really, really critical because it's really important that the school caters for those families that are otherwise struggling is really, really central.
Yeah.
One of the things that motivated me to stand for the board was I kind of deeply saddened that in my community, in my network, that so many of my friends were having conversations beginning with a sentence like, "I'm not sure what school my kids should go to."
Yeah.
And for me, that's never been a question that's been at the front of my mind. It's always been, of course, you go to the local school, you know. And I'm really keen to ensure that the school delivers what it can to be the best school that it can be for all of the kids of this island. Because the cost of kids leaving the school, I get concerned about the challenges that it presents for those kids who are leaving. You think about the long school days, the tired, all the mornings.
All that kind of stuff. I mean, all kids look tired in the morning.
No, that's true.
But I do feel for some of those little ones who are dragging their violin case all the way to Auckland.
But also the separation from their community, from their mates. But also, what does it do to the kids who are left? Yeah. You know, if all of we who could send our kids off the island did. It's not good for the school that's left, you know.
I think every school needs to carry the kaupapa of its community,
absolutely.
Doesn't it?
And yeah, yeah.
I think in some ways we've suffered on the island over the years. I'm not referencing the school particularly Mm-mm. now, but over the years, I mean, issues at Waiheke High School, boy, they go back to, as far as I can remember, the first one I wasn't involved in the dispute itself when I was working at Gulf News, but when I got to Gulf News in 1999, the remnants of this community issue was still in the air,
yeah.
and that was around the first great uniform debate of the late 80s, early 90s, right. Led by Chris Brady and various other wonderful teachers, and whānau and families, and it split the island in half. I call it our Springbok tour. It was just amazing. And then since then, there have been a number of various issues rise and fall, and I think these things are all part of a growing school myself.
Well, I think that's the other thing too, but isn't that part of the irony of being part of a community where people care so much about
I think the passion on this island is just extraordinary and wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a challenge there, and I think capturing that better, and I think that one of the things I'm keen to see the school doing is communicating better with the community that it serves and that it's part of.
Does the school struggle? And I appreciate you've only just been elected. I'm sort of I'm popping this in the air. But I mean, one of the wonderful things about the island is the diversity of people who live here. And if you were to take 12 square kilometres or whatever Oneroa and Austin and Surfdale are, and map that in Auckland, you're going to have a community roughly of the same socioeconomic status. You're going to have roughly the same. Probably you're going to have roughly you the same cultural mix. But you put that grid over here on Waiheke, and we've just got everybody, and, well, not culturally. But in terms of socioeconomic status. So does the school struggle to provide for everybody because we have such a wonderful, varied community?
I think that's probably the case, and I suspect that one of the things that's going on is that sort of certainly socioeconomically Waiheke is stretching more. So I think that and this has got to be an issue that that heaps of schools are facing is the growing kind of tension between the quite poor and the super rich, and you know the other issue that the school faces is that it is small. You know, you look at the roll sizes of high school in Auckland, and at 450 odd, Waiheke is a very small high school. So that
affects its funding.
Absolutely. Well, it affects its funding. It affects timetabling. It affects the range of subjects that you can offer. All of those sorts of things get much more complicated, I think, in a small school. What we need to be doing, I think, is leveraging better off the advantages of being a small school. There ought to be better pastoral care there. Teachers do know the kids and their families, and you know that kind of stuff. And in this modern environment, I mean, schools are way, way different, Greg, than they were when we went to school.
Yep.
You know, the opportunities for reaching beyond the physical boundaries of the school to deliver broader subject choices and broader ways of learning for kids to overcome the challenges of being a small school, you know, I think have to be. Exploited to the greatest extent we can, really.
So, the big picture, there seems to be change in the air in government at the moment. It depends, I guess, on the next election, really, how deeply this change is embedded. But I'm thinking we're still running tomorrow's schools yesterday. I just don't know. 1989, if I remember correctly, tomorrow's schools came in, which essentially, among many, many changes, I think the principal change was it handed governance to the community. And there was always those two arguments back in those days. Was this the government, abdicating its responsibility or, in fact, empowering communities? I just wonder what you think of that model now.
I was a co-opted board member for 18 months or so at the end of Brin's years at Te Huruhi.
Oh, yes,
And it struck me then that actually I wondered if increasingly, rather than handing the governance of the school to the community, if tomorrow's schools has in fact handed the administration of the schools to the community. And I don't think that's the right thing to have happened. You know, I watched Adam, you know, the endless hours that Adam spent angsting over the negotiations about the new school building and, you know, that kind of stuff. And the hours and hours of board time taken up with decisions about replacing leaky windows or roofs or that kind of stuff. My view is that those are things that would be much better handled by the bureaucracy, and having decent systems.
And leave school boards to true governance issues.
The visions. To do the two things which are essential in governance, which is the visioning and the accountability.
Yeah.
So I think that's the... And the other thing I would say about my position, I feel quite clear about. I'm a community elected board representative, so it is my job to attempt to represent the interests of the community. So I don't bring any specialist educational experience or any specialist skills. The board can co-opt those skills. Of course, I'll bring some skills to the board, but my job actually is to be, I don't know, the conscience, the voice, and a bit of a connection with the people of this motu, of this island, which I love dearly.
Yeah, you've been here 15, 20 years or
something? Yeah, 15 years. 15 years. And, you know, Louise, my partner, has been here 10 years longer, so that clearly tells a story of how I got to be here.
I'm sure you now see it as a lucky escape.
Yeah, well, I did. I thought she lived in South America. I really thought Waiheke was that far away from Auckland, and I wouldn't live. I'm over 50 now, and I seriously can't imagine living permanently anywhere else other than on this island.
I know it's a fantastic
place.
In my worst moments, I wonder if I might go somewhere, and then I realise there's nowhere I would like more.
I was shortlisted for a job, and it was an international job in Singapore, and we had this big dilemma about about if I was offered it, would I take it? And a very good friend of mine said to me, Grant, what you need to realise is that people take these high paying, it wasn't particularly high paying, but people take these jobs in Singapore in order to earn the money to live the lifestyle that you've already got. And I thought, there's something in there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. So it was an election, there was a resignation or something, because you've actually been elected after 2 years of the 3 year term. Yeah. So you're up for re-election in a year.
That's right. And I know that the board is talking about having a phased election process.
That's right. Yeah,
half the board changes. And I think that's quite a good idea. From what I understand, there was a fairly almost a total turnover of the board.
Well, then you lose so much institutional knowledge, don't you? I mean, everybody goes, and a whole lot of new people come in, and they're starting again. Sometimes from trying to understand the role of governance. Whereas if you only change half the board, you've still got a lot of institutional knowledge that gets shared with the new people.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Grant Duffy, good luck for your year on the board and possibly many more years. Cool. I don't suppose you know yet whether you're standing for re-election, but.
It feels to me like it's the sort of job that you wouldn't just do for a year.
Yeah, exactly. So if you can get re-elected again, you probably will be.
And hopefully we can have this conversation again, because I think actually connecting with the community, this is one way that you can talk about what the school's doing and what people are up to.
That is a little bit difficult for community news orgs like Waikiki Radio, and if I can speak for Gulf News, I haven't worked there for a long time, but they're very sensitive issues, and you can't always just peel them open and show all the wounds, because it's too close. It's so important, but it's so close to people's lives. So that's partly why I'm very grateful you came in this morning to introduce you to people who don't know you, but probably most of the island does. and we can continue this conversation with the board at in a governance role in the community, in a listening and supporting role.
Yeah, great.
And we'll talk over everything you do.
Great.
Grant Duffy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Greg.